Said, writer and host of PRI Studio 360, Kurt Anderson, is still with us. And we're going to turn to books right now. The Wizard of Oz, Lord of the Rings, and Lord of the Flies. What do they have in common, Kurt?
They've sold many, many millions of copies, and the fate of the world is either at stake or already decided in the negative.
You got it, a troubled world that kids, you forgot a key component there, are trying to navigate, even saving. But there's a new trend popping up in children's book or books for young people, post-apocalyptic worlds where few individuals have survived and kids find themselves in a destroyed world where they have to band together to rebuild. Joining the Takeaway is Susan Pfeffer, who's in the midst of the trend with two books on the shelf, Life as We Knew It, and The Dead and the Gone. We're also joined by child psychologist Dr. Frank Gaskill to give us some perspective on a child's mind. Susan, good morning.
Good morning.
Let's start with you. Tell us about Life as We Knew It. It sounds pretty ominous for your main character, Miranda.
Things are not good for Miranda in the book, nor are they good for Alex in The Dead and the Gone. Basically, there has been an astronomical effect where the moon has been nudged a little bit closer to Earth, which causes great changes in the moon's gravitational pull on the Earth. And one bad thing leads to another. Disaster followed by disaster.
And we certainly don't want to give away any of the specifics of the book, but in general, Miranda and your other character in The Dead and the Gone, they both find themselves in a situation where there are no adults, right?
No. Miranda lives with her mother and two brothers, one older, one younger. Alex's parents in The Dead and the Gone are missing, so he has more responsibility.
And what kinds of obstacles are these young people facing?
Lack of food, the collapse of the food chain, horrific weather conditions, the loss of people that they love, the death of people that they love, lack of heating, the end of oil heating up furnaces, transportation ends because there's no gas for the cars.
Very serious and scary situations.
That's the idea.
Because?
Because it makes for a better story.
Dr. Gaskill, how do you think children and these books, Susan, they're really for 10 to 14-year-olds, right?
Or older,
10 and up, we should say.
I would go 12 and up or 11 and up.
12 and up. These are very serious issues.
Well, they are and they aren't. I think I have not read her books, but I'm intrigued to read them now. It doesn't sound any different from the books that you are already describing, Lord of the Rings, but then you have Orson Scott Card's Ender's Game, there's a Hungry City series. All of these books are exciting, and it's in a great setting, and it reels in the young reader.
Well, Ender's Game is a great book where a kid saves the galaxy, and really it's all about wanting the adults to be gone. Why do kids want the adults to be gone? I have two 10-year-olds. They're happy when I'm out of the house.
Well, it's part of individuation, independence, practicing being on their own, and the way this book is described sounds like it also gives kids another opportunity to practice their independence before they really are.
And this, well, there's two lessons here, really, right? One is that kids have more power, perhaps, than they think they do, right?
True.
And is that something that is automatically realized? Like, is that theme obvious, Susan, say, in your two books?
They learn their strengths. Each book is about 300 pages of learning their strengths. But yes, by the end of the books, both characters realize how much more capable they are and how deep their love for their family is.
And Dr. Gaskill, is that an important lesson to learn in the face of very real and serious challenges that we face as a nation and a world, given concerns about global climate changes, given concerns about terrorism, and so on and so forth?
It is. And if the conclusion of the story is how important family is, that's fantastic. But even the role of these books, the role of video games, the role of various graphic novels that are out there, my hope is that families would be reading right along with kids and talking with them about what they're learning.
What if they're not, though?
Well, I don't see that's necessarily a downside, unless there's some particular issues going on with a particular individual, but those are rare. And the book itself, or the books, the topics themselves, is not what the problem is. The problem is typically something that's going on within the family itself.
But is there an age at which it's too young to suggest to a little kid that, hey, by the way, the whole world could implode and everything you know could be blown away tomorrow? At what point
sure.
is that a sort of appropriate notion to bring to kids' minds?
Well, when I was growing up, I'm 39, so I would imagine probably ages 10 would be a little scary at that point.
Yeah, you want to at least be able to read before you learn about that. Frank, we're going to hold on for a second. Dr. Frank Gaskill, child psychologist in Charlotte, North Carolina. We'll be back to you in a minute. And Susan Pfeffer is also on the line. She writes children's books on this subject, Life as We Knew It, The
Please
Dead and
stay
Gone.
With
stay
us.
With us.
Good morning. It's Friday. It's August 1st, and we're just going to continue a conversation we've been having about post-apocalyptic books, a new trend for children where these kids find themselves in a destroyed world and they're having to band together to rebuild. Still with us is writer and host of PRI Studio 360, Kurt Anderson. Also, Susan Pfeffer, who's written two of these books, Life as We Knew It in 2006 and The Dead and the Gone, that just came out this year in 2008. And also Dr. Frank Gaskill, a child psychologist in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks, all of you, for staying with us. And Susan, what inspired you to write books with characters, children facing just all kinds of major grown-up kinds of issues like global climate change and destroyed societies?
Well, to some extent, what inspired me was what you've been talking about on the radio this morning. You had a news item about anthrax, a news item about a girl's dormitory blowing up, a news item about relief workers being killed while trying to do their jobs in Afghanistan, and a news item about a follow-up on a bridge collapse. Disaster is all around us. Hmm. And kids are very, very aware of it. And I just wanted to put kids in a situation where they were an active part of the survival in a very dangerous and unexpected world.
Frank, you know, kids in that world that Susan writes about so, you know, so vividly love to be in situations, whether it's post-apocalyptic or not, where they rely on themselves and kind of trick the world of circumstances into winning. And I think that, you know, that's a theme that's pretty deep for young kids.
Well, and I think that's why I'm loving the sound of these books. It's the same as video games. It's putting kids in a place that is relatively healthy, that they can practice control, practice being the boss and saving the world. It's the X-Men, Batman, Maximum Ride. It's letting them play out in their minds how to master uncontrollable situations.
Which, ironically, those movies you just mentioned from the Marvel Comics series, they're all hitting it huge in the movie world for both young people and adults this summer.
Right.
Well, and there's a whole apocalyptic sort of subcategory of adult art and entertainment that is very much in vogue right now. Cormac McCarthy's book, The Road, Children of Men.
No Country for Old Men.
Not for kids, though.
I'm saying this.
No Country for Old Men, the kids' story. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But it's a little parallel. It's a parallel cultural trend, is what you're saying, Kurt.
Exactly. And I'm also interested. I remember as a kid reading Huckleberry Finn and feeling, Huck and Tom, and they're, you know, in charge of their own world in this really empowered way. And then the next year, reading Lord of the Flies and really disturbed, finding that truly disturbing in what I think ultimately was a good way, and it didn't turn me into a killer. But
not yet. It's early yet.
Well, I was about to say, and you had the final word there, Kurt Anderson, writer and host of PRI Studio 360. We thank you. Susan Pfeffer, we wish you all the best with your books.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. And Dr. Frank Gaskill, child psychologist in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks for joining us. And Susan Pfeffer's books are Life as We Knew It and The Dead and the Gone.
I think we found the one child psychologist who is pro-video games in the entire universe.
He said there's certainly a lesson in there. Well, actually, maybe we'll have Dr. Gaskill come back and explain exactly why he thinks that's such a good idea. But right now, we're going to get some headlines from Femi. Okay, Femi?
Hello there. Coming up to 8 minutes to the hour.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.